We are delighted to have Ming and Ji among us today with Isaac as he comes to be baptized. And surely there can be no more appropriate thing to be doing on the 25th anniversary of the rededication of this building after it had been destroyed by fire than to celebrate here the beginning of new life. Not for a building this year, but for a child, a human being made in the love of God to know and to walk with him. Our dedication festival today is about a building, and in the Christian context, any reference to a church or temple is shorthand for people, for Christ, for his followers, for the church. The Christian narrative is about Christ as a temple, and about the church as the body of Christ, a body of believers working for and building together the kingdom of God. And so our buildings, whether grand like this or humble, are of meaning and of value to the extent that they provide a physical opportunity for the spiritual and human life of the people of God to flourish and to flow out into the world. Our homes, the places where we live, the places where we worship, and all our shared buildings are important to us. However humble, they are the places where the kingdom of God is nurtured and lived out, where we eat, where we work, where we rest, and where we pray. We love them, we shape them, and we enjoy them. Yet in the New Testament, just as we have very little biographical information about anyone, we also have very few glimpses of the built environment inhabited by the disciples. There are now and again references to a house, the roof, the synagogue, or an upper room, but that's about as elaborate as it gets, and none of it is very informative. I'd really like to know the places where the disciples and Jesus went. I'd like to know what their homes looked like. I'd like to know what the local synagogues looked like too, as well as what the temple was like. What would we like to read today? Today, perhaps we'd like something more narrative, something more like a novelized version of the gospel. Peter sat on the stone floor beside the low window in the kitchen at Bethany. Leaning on the worn wooden window ledge, he squinted out into the bright sunshine outside, which streamed into the kitchen, catching the dust hanging in the air in front of the brick-lined oven, still warm from the baking of the day's bread, and streamed pink stippled light onto the room's softly painted walls. Peter looked across the courtyard to see the other disciples laughing as they came down the staircase which led down the outside of the building from the rooms on the roof above. And he heard the rafters creak as Jesus walked upstairs in the prayer room. Sometimes I'd like to read a gospel account that was more like that, which explained rather more about the context in which Jesus and his followers lived. But the gospels save their words very specifically for who Jesus was and what his meaning meant for us. The one building, perhaps, which does repeatedly appear in the narrative is the temple in Jerusalem. To the outsider reading today, Jesus seems to have a thing about the temple, but it would be fairer to say that the whole Jewish people had a thing about the temple, the building which powerfully represented for them the presence of their holy God in their midst, his choice of them from among greater nations, and his promise to deliver them from all their enemies. Their encounter with the divine presence, which began in dreams and mystical visions given to the patriarchs, and then after God's revelation in the burning bush to Moses, became physically represented in the tent of meeting which the Israelites carried through the desert, and in the Ark of the Covenant it contained. Eventually, under King Solomon, the tent became a temple, with a holy of holies where the presence of God was understood to dwell, and a complex ritual life involving animal sacrifice, music, and complex prayers led by priests. That first temple was destroyed in the 6th century BCE, and another built in the time of Nehemiah. And that second temple was eventually replaced by the temple built by Herod, which was barely finished in the time of Jesus, to which Jesus frequently referred. The temple where he was dedicated as a child, the temple where he was lost and found among the rabbis as a boy, the temple where he drove out the thieving money changers and where he healed and taught the people in the days before he died. That temple dominated the city both practically and also spiritually, and it was the focal point of religious life for all of the Jews and for the awkward interaction between the religious belief of the people and the power and control of the state. This is why when Jesus speaks about destroying the temple, which had taken decades to build at such enormous cost, it produced a powerful emotional response from his hearers. Jesus had a thing about the temple. He saw it as a place where human beings were meant to encounter the living God, where the lame and the blind would find healing, where the poor and the broken would find help and care, where all could come to find the life of the living God freely flowing from the divine presence, like living water flowing from the deep springs of God's love. Jesus recognized that the building which was so important was no longer fulfilling that purpose, but had actually become a source of oppression for the poor and the vulnerable, the people who are truly God's own. For us, Jesus himself became the true spiritual temple. He replaced the corrupted temple with a pure temple of his own body. He is then the place of divine encounter and the source of life. Not a temple of stone, but a temple of flesh, a temple of spirit, and a temple of love. Crucified and resurrected, he is our living temple, and we are being built into that temple too, because through baptism we each become a part of Christ. We are baptized into Christ, into his death, into his resurrection, and are made a part of the living body which is the church, a glorious temple and a house of God, a human building, a community where food is shared, where stories are told, where comfort is assured, where help is given to the needy and to the stranger, where God is honoured, and where each and every one of us, misshapen and recalcitrant stones, are valued and find our unique place. The significance of a building, a church like this one today, is in the degree to which it allows that living temple of God's presence, his people, to flourish and live within it. Today, as we celebrate Isaac's new life in Christ and in the living temple which is the church, we celebrate the life of the church which has flourished in this building of St. Peter's over the last 25 years. The life made possible by generous donation, by determined fundraising, by careful stewardship, by deep personal sacrifice, by committed action month by month and year by year, by the dedication of clergy and of people, by women and men who have sought to honour Christ in their lives and to make manifest here the life of Christ, love in action, humble and compassionate service, sincere prayer, and profound celebration for all. Today, as we celebrate, we give thanks for all those who have been part of the life of this church over the last 25 years, and all who are so richly part of its life today. And we pray that it may go on being a place of open and generous belonging, discipleship and worship. St. Paul uses the analogy of the body to speak about the church, and we also use the analogy of the building, the temple, too. Here in this building, which was destroyed and resurrected, each of us has a place. Awkward stones that we are, oddly sized timber, cumbersome beams, glass which must be shaped and cut to size, ordinary bricks on which the whole structure depends, or also delicate embellishments singing God's glory, or tiny mosaic tiles reflecting the golden light of God, or doors which lock to keep others safe and open to the needy, or human meeting places for those unlike us. Here in this building, we each have a place and a calling to live out in this place of God's holy presence. We celebrate the transforming resurrection life which God has allowed to flourish within it today, and thank him for the joy that we have had of finding his presence here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.